Hello and welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's December 3rd, 2013. You're listening to KTOO News Juno. Today on the show, we'll hear about theater scholarships. We'll get an update on the KTOO holiday auction. We'll hear about upcoming presentations that will demystify the Affordable Care Act. Larry West will be here with news about a partnership between Discovery Southeast and Foggy Mountain. And Assistant Principal Christy Germain from Juno Douglas High School will be here to tell us what's going on at the school. All that and more. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Fractionation, or the co-ownership of a piece of land by multiple people, doubled on a dozen reservations between 1992 to 2010. That's according to a new study that looks at land ownership on reservations. Wyoming Public Radio's Irina Jorov reports.
Fractionation happens when heirs inherit undivided interests in a single piece of land. Over generations, allotments can end up being shared between dozens of owners. The Wind River Indian Reservation's rate of fractionation was average among the reservations surveyed. The study shows that overall, the size of land parcels on Wind River decreased, and the total number of tracts managed by the Bureau of Indian Affairs grew nearly 20%. The number of tracts with over 300 Indian owners went from just one in 1992 to 64 in 2010. Jake Russ, a graduate student at George Mason University who worked on the paper, says fractionation is bad for economic development.
We have a couple of theories about how fractionation should be impacting, you know, the economic activity on those reservations, and we expect those effects to be negative. The sheer amount of bargaining costs that are increasing every time you add an additional owner to all of the lease negotiations or any kind of like land use decision. That's just a huge issue.
The study found that the annual record keeping costs for just these 12 reservations increased fivefold in the period studied. The researchers estimate that for all reservations, record keeping costs are in excess of $500 million. For National Native News, I'm Irina Jorov.
A northern Wisconsin tribe begins a public transportation pilot project in the North Woods. WXPR's Natalie Jablonski has details.
Starting this week, Lac du Flambeau is offering transit between the reservation and the Minocqua Woodruff area about 15 miles away. Tribal spokesman Brandon Tomes says it will be the only public transit available in the area.
Poverty is one thing that we deal with here on the reservation, and many times people don't have reliable or affordable transportation. And that's a barrier to not only people in Lac du Flambeau, but the entire Lakeland area.
The service is open to the public. Shuttles will run 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and seniors get a discounted rate. There will also be an on-demand service that will provide door-to-door trips within the 2-mile central area of the reservation.
This service will allow people to get to work and back, get to the store and back, health appointments, doctor's appointments, dental appointments if needed. Just takes down another barrier in our fight to provide a better quality of living.
The Menominee Nation is a partner in the project. Tribal officials eventually plan to expand the service further south to Rhinelander, Anago, and Kashina on the Menominee Reservation. For National Native News, I'm Natalie Jablonski in Rhinelander, Wisconsin.
The National Congress of American Indians is hosting an event on Indian mascots featuring advocates from the civil rights community. Discussions will focus on the effect Indian sports mascots, logos, and symbols have on Native youth and communities. Members of Congress are also expected to attend the event Thursday in Washington, D.C. The Zuni Comprehensive Community Health Center in New Mexico has received baby-friendly status. It's an Indian Health Service facility, and the new designation includes offering mothers information and skills for breastfeeding. The baby-friendly initiative is part of First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move in Indian Country campaign. It promotes breastfeeding as a way to reduce the risk of children developing obesity and diabetes. The Zuni Center completed the designation process in November and has a 95% breastfeeding initiation rate. It's the 6th IHS facility to be certified baby-friendly. In December 2012, Catholic Bishop Richard Garcia of the Diocese of Monterey in California offered a Mass of Reconciliation and apologized to Native people. The Mass was held at the Mission of San Juan Bautista. The apology to Mutsin people was for abuses they suffered during Spanish colonization of the area. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello, and welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. It's December 3rd. We are in Alaska's capital city. It is 3:05 p.m. I'm Joan Pardis, your Monday host, but I'm sitting in for Martha Moore today. It is, in fact, Tuesday. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. And as far as weather, it was sunny today. Tonight is partly cloudy, lows 12 to 22, southeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. On Wednesday, sunny, highs around 30. Wednesday night, mostly clear, lows 13 to 21. Thursday, sunny. Thursday night, mostly clear. And Friday, partly cloudy. Looks like we might get some snow next week, according to this weather forecast. So it is cold and clear and a beautiful winter here in Juneau. Speaking of winter, KTOO has a writer's showcase called Holidays. It's a live reading of holiday-themed stories by Heather Lindy, Jeff Kirsch, Clint Farr, Rockwell Kent, and others. That's going to happen Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at K2's new At 360 Stage, which is downstairs. I'm up in the studios on the second floor, and it's pay as you can. This will be recorded for KTOO FM and 360 North TV. That's something you might want to check out. So here in the studio, my first guest of the day is Kristen Garrett. She's a principal at the Alternative High School and of the Montessori program, and she's here to talk about a new scholarship. It's the Bethany Berriman Memorial Scholarship, Theater Scholarship. Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
So tell me about this Memorial Scholarship. Maybe a little bit about Bethany, and then we could talk about what you're doing in her honor.
Sure. So Bethany was a friend of mine and a colleague at JDHS. That's how I first met her. She was the theater teacher there, and I was teaching English. And we became friends and worked on a couple of projects together there at school. And she died in 2011 of ovarian cancer. And I've been sort of struck for the last couple of years of thinking about what can I do to remember her and to celebrate her life, because she also was just kind of an amazing person and did a lot of things in Juneau for a long time. She was active in the professional theater community and was a skier and a kayaker and a guide and a mother and a wife and just kind of this great person. And so this summer I was like, you know, I think a scholarship for students who want to study theater would be a way to do that and celebrate her. And so then I decided I needed some money to kick that off, and so here we are.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a lovely way to honor her memory and let her passion live on.
Right.
For people to be able to pursue a career in specifically the theatrical art.
Correct.
So how does it work? So there's some kind of event on Friday?
So I have to kick off the fundraising. Exactly. My goal is to raise $10,000 as part of this fundraising campaign between now and June. And so to kick it all off, this Friday during Gallery Walk, there will be an event extraordinaire, event extravaganza.
Well, that's a lot to say.
Yes,
it's already Gallery Walk. Wow, this is a high bar.
So just add to your Gallery Walk, you know, walk through a silent auction at the Jack that'll start at 4:30 and we'll probably end the auction around 8. And so you can come by, check it out, make some bids, go check out some other places and come back. And there are about 40 plus now as the week goes on, people who've contributed to that silent auction. Lots of different kinds of art and I have a list. I can read some of the random
for the shopper
things
and all
on the
of
list.
Us.
Yes.
Can you just give us a little tease
yes.
of what might be
so
there?
So there's some great art. Like M.K. McNaughton is going to have some work there. Christy Erickson. Rico Whirl is going to have some jewelry. Rob Royce has a piece. Like
just
Elizabeth
whole
Davis. It's quite a range of different things. There's some JDHS graduates who have some work in there.
Oh, that sounds great.
A lot of different fun stuff available.
I saw a lot of the work that you just described at the public market.
Yes.
And
so maybe you
beautiful
saw
stuff.
It and then you didn't get it. And so now this is an opportunity
right.
for
you double
to get
dip.
It.
You go shopping maybe for yourself or someone
right.
else and you support this theater
exactly.
scholarship.
And then after the silent auction's over, there will be a dance party. Susu and the Prophets
oh.
will play until about 9:30. So... And it's free. Donations are accepted, obviously, all night long. But it'll be a fun party to just to celebrate.
Okay, so we're talking with Kristen Garrett. She's kicking off a new memorial, new theater scholarship in town, Bethany Berryman Memorial Scholarship. She's in partnership with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. You could donate through them as well. But tell me, how are the funds going to be used?
So all the funds raised will go directly to the scholarship fund. And it will be one of the JAC, or the Arts and Humanities Council itself, has a series of scholarships that they award every spring to youth in Juno who are studying all different kinds of arts. And there are a few specific awards for music, for writing, and so this is just going to be another specific award in all of those offerings. It'll be for students who have demonstrated some skill and dedication already to theater, and it could be any part of theater. It doesn't just have to be performance. Someone who's interested in costumes or lights or design or the technical aspects of theater could qualify as well.
Okay. So. And then not all the $10,000 would go to one student.
No, it'll be that the idea is that I'd like to raise the money so it can be a scholarship that's available for years to come. So those scholarships are generally in the range of maybe $500 to $800.
And that would offset the cost of either a school program or maybe a theater intensive program or something along those
correct.
Lines?
Correct.
So when is the application process?
Those
is
usually are in the spring.
Year next year?
It'll happen this in 2014. Will
right.
be the first time it's awarded in the springtime. And those are usually, the materials for that are usually due early May.
Okay. So let's say you're listening and you don't live in town or you're not coming down for Gallery Walk for some reason. How would people say, oh, well, I'd like to do this before I, you know, stop listening to the radio. I want to
yes,
do something about
it. Yes, you can do it
this.
Right now and do something about it. You can go online and go to the Arts and Humanities Council, jahc.org, and you can follow their page to donate for scholarships. And you can do a donation online and specify that it's going for this particular scholarship, and it'll go in that fund.
And the correct name of this specific scholarship is?
Is the Bethany Berryman Memorial Scholarship.
Okay. Since you made up your mind to do this, okay, and you have a goal and you're ready to launch it this spring, that's great. How are you feeling?
Well, right now I'm a little nervous. Like, I need people to come to my party and, like, have a good time and donate some money. I think, you know, I think once word starts going out, I've already gotten some nice responses from folks who are really excited and who are happy to be able to contribute and do so in the name of their friend or someone they knew in town. So
right, who impacted so many people.
Right.
And also, so what Kristen was saying before we went on the air, it's her birthday today, and she told me she doesn't
want... Well, Friday is my birthday.
Oh, Friday's the birthday.
Yes, Friday's
oh.
like everything converged so that it was all the right signs to have a giant party on Friday. It's my birthday. It's my 40th birthday. It's the Jack's 40th birthday. It's K2's 40th birthday year. It's like this big, yay, celebration time, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
So she doesn't want birthday wishes. She wants money in the name
right.
of her friend so some kids could go out and pursue their dream.
That's right. That's right. Help the children.
Thanks for joining us today. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square. Tell all the gang at 40. That I will soon be there. Whisper of how I'm yearning to mingle with the old time throng. Yes, give my regards to old Broadway and say that.
Skyrocket. Did you ever see two Yankees part upon a foreign shore? When the good ship's just about to start for old New York once more. With tear-dimmed eye they say goodbye, they're friends without a doubt. Then the man on the pier shouts,
hello!
ship strikes out.
If I may go to Broadway,
remember me to Herald Square.
Hello, the gang at 42nd Street, that I will soon be there.
Hello, we're back. It's Juno Afternoon at KTOO News Juno. So I just want to say, you know, Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. He's on the board. So every time you hear the clever music after an interview, I have nothing to do with it. It's all Jeff.
That's all Jeff.
Exactly. That's what a producer and engineer does. I'm the talking head, the volunteer talking
head. Yes, I use him quite often in his vast array of knowledge of music for when I'm cutting spots. I'm like, I need music to sound like this. And he's like, got it.
Oh, I bet. In like 2 seconds better than a computer. That is
yes.
Frank Tess, who's here. He's here to talk about the KTO auction. He is in development yesterday. I said membership, but he is
right.
He's one of the development team at KTOO, keeping the funds rolling.
Right.
So the auction, here's a little quick recap. It's going till Thursday. Things are heating up. It's online at ktoo.org. And there's every day there's a
item of the day.
And what is today?
Today we have two round-trip standby tickets on anywhere Wings of Alaska go. So I think that ends at 4, so you got to get a move on.
Come on, you Gus Davis folks, you Haynes folks,
right.
Get on the line here, get it going.
We know you're listening over there. Give them a call or go online at kto.org. Click on the auction and make your bids. You have like, 45 minutes or something?
Yeah,
to get on
actually
there to
44. It's 3:16 p.m.
Yeah,
so,
I don't math.
Is that like a hot item? Are people bidding?
Yeah,
bidding?
It looks like there's people bidding on it. So, so you better get on it.
Okay, and then other transportation stuff is there's a whole bunch of tourism stuff. There's Alaska Airlines tickets.
Yeah, we have Alaska Airlines tickets, you know. All kinds. We actually add an item today. As speaking of transportation, we have I think it's like a holiday lights tour from the Pint Size Bus, which is this cool little bus that you can have drive you around, and I think they serve adult beverages or something, or you can bring your own adult beverages or something.
So this is a private tour. So if I buy I can pick the people I want to go with.
Yeah, I think so. So that was just added today. So call it up and.
That sounds good.
Take your party on the road.
So what time does the auction end?
The auction ends this Thursday. So
at a specific time?
Yep, at high noon. We got to show high noon on Thursday the 5th. So it's only a couple more days, so people got to get up and walk all the way to their computers and make their bid at KTO.org.
Or their iPad or their smartphone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough.
Yeah.
So, and you know, even though we all like to go shopping for ourselves, it is the holiday season. It's probably a good time to get some stocking stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
stuff is
happening. I mean, Eagle Crest is opening. We have 10 visit passes. If you want to get a gift, we have Fairweather Gallery, Juno Artist Gallery, Healing Touch. Wild Oven is giving away all kinds of goodies and gift certificates. And so, I mean, there's stuff on there, and it's just up to you to go check them out.
I wonder what how many hits you're going to get around like 11:30,
11:45
on December 5th.
Yeah, I mean, it's all online bidding, so people are, you know, they know how it works.
Oh,
eBay's
absolutely.
Been around, and it's similar to that. So
okay, so it's ktoo.org. And Frank, just going to ask you a question. Do you know what the item of the day is tomorrow?
I don't know what it is.
Oh,
tomorrow.
They posted. That would be a preview. You would have to check it out in the morning, right?
Yeah. Go, keep your eyes peeled for that one.
Okay. Well, great. Frank, thanks for the update. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Sweet. Thanks.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 3rd of December, 2013. It was on this date, 1960, the musical by Lerner and Lowe, Camelot, opened on Broadway with the song at the end of the show, "Don't let it be forgot that once there was a spot for one brief shining moment that was known as Camelot." It's the birthday of Joseph Conrad, born in Poland in the town of Berdyshev, which is now Ukraine, 1857. Joined the merchant navy, sailed all around the world, and from it he gained the experience that went into his novels and stories, the best known of which, Heart of Darkness, 1899. English riverboat captain in the Congo, sent to retrieve an ivory trader, Mr. Kurtz, who has been living as a demigod among the African natives. Francis Ford Coppola used it as an outline for his story in his film Apocalypse Now. It was on this date, 1919, the Quebec Bridge over the St. Lawrence River was finally opened to traffic. They started building it in 1904, but engineers had made a mistake, and it weighed much more than they thought it did. An enormous bridge, cantilever bridge, 1,800-foot single span, 150 feet above the St. Lawrence. 3 years after they started building it, it collapsed. 75 workers died in 1907. They resumed construction 1913. 3 years later, the bridge collapsed again. 13 workers were killed. Finally opened to public traffic on this date in 1919. Still the world's longest cantilever bridge. And it's the birthday of the social reformer Octavia Hill, born in Cambridgeshire, England, 1838. When she was 26, she established a low-income housing project in London, where she offered music classes to the poor. She believed in the importance of open space in the city, which, she said, enables the Londoner to rise above the smoke and to see the sun setting in its glory. Here's a poem for today by Ted Kooser, entitled Applesauce. I liked how the starry blue lid of that saucepan lifted and puffed, then settled back on a thin hot pad of steam, and the way her kitchen filled with the warm wet breath of apples, as if all the apples were talking at once, as if they'd come cold and sour from chores in the orchard and were trying to shoulder in close to the fire. She was too busy to put in her 2 cents worth talking to apples. Squeezing her dentures with wrinkly lips, she had to jingle and stack the bright brass coins of the lids and thoughtfully count out the red rubber rings, then hold each jar to see if it was clean to a window that looked out through her backyard into Iowa. And with every third or fourth jar, she wiped steam from her glasses, using the hem of her apron, printed with tiny red sailboats that dipped along with leaf-green banners snapping under puffs of pale applesauce clouds scented with cinnamon and cloves, the only boats under sail for at least 2,000 miles. Applesauce by Ted Kooser from Delights and Shadows, published by Copper Canyon Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity. Lumosity.com's daily online workouts are designed to improve memory and attention and are dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Tonight on 360 North at 8 o'clock, enjoy Ingenuity, a mix of animation, music, and real thoughts from real people viewing our world through Native American eyes. Native Report follows at 8:30. Then at 9, fantasy meets reality in the touching road movie Indians Like Us. At 10, Service, When Women Come Marching Home, portrays women's experience in combat from the Afghan deserts to rural Tennessee. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. I'm Joan Pardis. I'm sitting in for Martha Moore. Our next guest is Crystal Berlin. Crystal is a navigator with the Affordable Care Act. She's based here in Juno, and there's a bunch of upcoming events to demystify how to get insurance, because the new deadline is, if you need insurance, okay,
which everyone does now, December 23rd is the deadline for to be covered as of January 1. So Crystal's already done a couple of talks, but we've got a talk tonight at 5 to 6 at the Valley Library. There's a talk on Friday, a lunchtime talk at the Downtown Library from 12 to 1. And then there is another lunch talk at the Valley Library next Friday from 12 to 1. Crystal, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the Affordable Care Act. So people need to get insured. If they're not currently insured, they need to get insured. And how do you help them?
Right. Yes. So I'm here to help people, answer your questions and also just help kind of navigate you through the enrollment process. So if you're someone who is currently uninsured or underinsured, or maybe you currently have a plan, a private plan, and you want to explore your options, I'm here to help you navigate that. And the talks at the library are open to the public, and it's in partnership with Juneau Public Libraries, and it's really going to be a general overview of what the Affordable Care Act is, as well as what the health insurance marketplace or healthcare exchanges are, and then also talking about financial assistance that's available in the marketplace.
Okay. And even though you're doing these events, that you're available for all these events, you also meet one-on-one with people. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And at these talks, I can set up an appointment if you want to go over and talk about your personal circumstance and the options available to you. We can definitely set up an appointment.
Okay. And all these services are free?
That's correct.
Okay. And what's a number where someone could get a hold of you?
Yeah, well, the local number here is 523-1147. If you're driving in your car, just remember 211. That's Alaska's information and referral line. So just call 211, ask for a navigator, and they'll connect you to me.
That sounds great. So you're down here in Juneau, but this is a grant through the United Way of Anchorage, and you're working through NAMI. Is that correct?
Sort of. I'm with United Way of Anchorage. They are the navigator grant holder, and they have several navigators on staff. The person here in Juneau, also fielding calls from other parts of Southeast Alaska. NAMI Juneau is where I'm located physically, so that's the office. They're hosting me, so I'm out in the valley by the glacier or by the airport, and I'm also very mobile, so I can come to people or meet them. Also, the library will be a great place to meet if that's more accessible for people.
Okay, and then I know you have these talks tonight, 5 to 6, and then next Friday, 12 to 1, those are both at the Valley Library. And then the Douglas Library is next Tuesday from 5 to 6, and then the Downtown Library is this Friday from 12 to 1. But let me ask you a question. You've done a couple of presentations by now, and I'm wondering, what is the biggest question? What are you being asked, and what can you tell people who are listening about the Affordable Care Act?
People really want to know, well, of course, how it affects them. And so there's a lot of people that have insurance that come, and they're curious how this is affecting them. So even though I do talk about some of the healthcare laws, consumer protections that might affect most of us, I'm, you know, really also talking to those that are uninsured. So first, you just need to know if you are insured. And then secondly, people that are uninsured or want to explore their options really want to know if they're going to qualify for financial assistance. So in the presentation, I have a graph, and we can talk about who will qualify kind of based on their income bracket. So I think that's where people, they want to know if they can get affordable coverage in the marketplace.
Right. And what does the financial assistance look like?
Yeah, so financial assistance is, again, based on kind of your household income and where you fall in that range. And so for Alaska, it's different than it is in the lower 48. So, for instance, an individual making anywhere from $14,350 a year all the way up to $57,000, give or take a few, is going to qualify for financial assistance in the marketplace. And, of course, it's a little more complicated than that, but I definitely can help answer those questions specific to the individual or family.
Right. So, you know, even though it may be a little more complicated because it's a new law and there's so much media around it and so on and so forth and maybe not really clear information, I want to say that as you're talking about it, you make it sound very simple.
Oh. Well, thank you. You're right. It is complex. And again, I think, you know, everyone's in a different situation. Everyone has their own unique circumstance and healthcare needs. So really just, the point to take away is, you know, get in touch and ask questions, even if you are insured and you just want to know more about the Affordable Care Act or about the mandate, just any questions you have, feel free to reach out.
Right. And there's all those events, those talks, like tonight from 5 to 6 at the 5 to 6 at the Valley Library, and Friday downtown, 12 to 1, lunchtime talk. Mm-hmm. But if you want your individualized attention, if you want some focused, concentrated energy just about what's going on with you specifically, give a crystal a call at 523-1147.
Yep, that's right.
Okay. Well, thanks for doing it. I'm happy we have somebody here in Juneau.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
It probably really makes it a lot easier for lots of folks.
I hope so.
You should probably give her a buzz because December 23rd is around the corner and she might get a little busy. thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Joan. Jeff.
Our next speaker is Emily Ricci. Emily recently got married and finally got around to changing her name the day before the government shutdown. So her real name is now Emily Ricci. Born and raised in Juneau, Emily took the first opportunity she could to flee the nest and moved away to the East Coast. After 8 years and many adventures later, she came back to Alaska for what she thought would be a short visit, but fell in love and stayed. Snapshots from her adventures include catching a cow in a fishing net in the Bering Sea, sleeping on the side of the road in Mali, whitewater rafting in the White Nile, and being served far too many vaguely named local, quote, meat dishes. In the summer months, she can be found walking her big, fat, black dog on the beach and obsessively picking berries. In the fall, she hibernates and makes jam.
So I'm going to share with you a story from my time as a Peace Corps volunteer in a small village called Tanagu in West Africa in a country called Benin. And scars are really part of the fabric of life in Benin. As part of their traditional beliefs, the Beninese practice facial scarification. So just by looking at someone and looking at the scars on their face, you can tell what ethnic group they're from, what family they're from. You can see the number of babies they've had. You can see where they've marked periods of chronic pain on their bodies. And perhaps most importantly, scars are a form of ceremony welcoming boys into manhood. So when I first arrived in my village, the local circumcision ceremony was about halfway through. Now, in Tanagu, the ceremony involves boys between the ages of 11 and 15, and it goes on for 30 days and 30 nights. And throughout the course of the ceremony, if those who are uninitiated are not allowed to see the initiants. And as one of our other Peace Corps friends learned the hard way, if you accidentally stumble on one of these ceremonies, they will chase you with weapons until you hide. So we all heard her stories in terror, and I was a little bit nervous as a result of this. So at that point in the season, the crops would grow about 8 feet high, and so you would have these huge fields of sorghum and maize and millet all next to the side of the road. And so for the first 2 weeks I was in village, I could hear these drums constantly, 24 hours a day, every single day. And I could kind of vaguely see where I thought the drums were coming from the way the grass swished back and forth, but I could never really tell. And after my friend's experience, I never wanted to be more than 20 feet away from a house I could dart into and hide in case they accidentally came out of the corn stalks and found me. So one morning, I was walking along the road, and it happened. Something came out of the bushes, and I didn't even look. I ran as hard as I could into the nearest hut. I totally startled this woman who was in the process of making lunch. I didn't speak the local language yet. She had no idea who I was. I was just standing in her hut, peering around the side of the door, trying to figure out, like, what was going on. And it turns out I had run from a goat. You know, to be fair, it was good practice. Later on, over the next 2 years, I would run from a troop of baboons and Nigerians who wanted to steal my cell phone. So it was a good thing that I was kind of on edge and ready to flee at a moment's notice. And I would like to say that is the only time that I ran from an animal, but over the course of the next week, I ran from a child and a pig at various times. But I was ready. I would not be caught unprepared like my friend. So one day, one of my friends from the village came and said, "Emily, tonight they're coming into town. So you need to go into your house, turn off your lights, and lie in bed and close your door and pretend you're asleep. It is very important you do this." And I said, "Okay, get it. Not going to mess with it. Not going to find out what happens if you don't." So night came, and about 7 p.m., I went into my house, closed the door, turned off the lights, and laid in bed. And I could hear the drums, and I could hear them getting closer and closer to the village, and suddenly the drums stopped. And this group of men began singing in the darkness. And they sang in this beautiful, you know, perfectly harmonized chorus, and I couldn't understand anything they were singing. But the sound would bounce off of the plateau behind the village and echo off of the rocks. And then suddenly, this group of men would stop. And you would hear a lone voice sing in response. And when the lone voice stopped, they would pick up and they would start singing again. And this went on for hours. And you would hear this voice. Sometimes it would be very far away. And one time, and I swear they were just messing with me, it was like right next to my bedroom window. So eventually the voices faded away and the drums started up and they went back out into the forest. But it was just a eerie, beautiful moment to be able to listen to that and see the ceremony in full swing. So about towards the end of this three-week period, my friend comes, and I could tell that there was kind of a frenzy building in the village. I could feel like things were coming to this tipping point. Animals were being slaughtered. People were preparing for a feast, and they were starting to brew the local beer, which is actually made from sorghum. And it takes 3 days to brew the beer in advance of the actual ceremony. And then you add live yeast at the end. So by the time you drink this beer, they call it chuk-chuk, out of these calabashes, you can literally see the yeast bubbling up in your drink. It's not really appetizing, but it's what you do. So I did. And my friend came one morning and said, "Okay, it's here. We gotta go. So I ran down to the road. The rest of the village was gathered around the side waiting to see these initiates come out of the woods. And these boys came out. And they came out in single file, each holding onto a rope. And they followed each other one after one with the leader, who was an older person who had been through the ceremony, leading them by this rope. And they were covered by this cloth from the top of their head all the way down to their feet. And as they walked out, they slowly brought them to the center of the village, which was in front of the school. And these initiates' parents had been dressed in these intricate costumes, the wives dressed like their husbands and the husbands dressed like their wives. And these costumes, from a distance, looked like something out of a masterpiece theater. But they were actually made out of trash. Bottle cans, plastic bags, and plastic bottles adorned their body in these intricate designs. And so as the day wore on, the people began to dance, and the initiates would stand in the center of the circle, and they would dance and dance and dance, and it went on for hours. And finally, when people could barely walk, the parents finally came up, they removed the cloth, they cut the bonds of rope between the boys, and they welcomed them into the village as men. And, you know, in typical Beninese fashion, the party didn't stop there. Someone got a generator, gasoline, more beer, and 5-foot-tall speakers. And so it actually went on for 3 more days until the alcohol ran out and the generator finally died and sputtered with the lack of gasoline. But, you know, I think one of the things that was most profound to me is I used to work in a retail store and women would hide their scars. They would come in and find scars to hide their operations. And it was so liberating to be in a culture where your scars are celebrated. They are a map of your life and your experiences. They are part of who you are and what makes you the person you are today. And they will help you become the person you will be tomorrow. They are not something that should be hidden and that's shameful. It's something we should celebrate. It is our rite of passage as a person through our life and the various stages that accompany it. So, thank you.
That great story was an excerpt from November's Mudrooms. There is Mudrooms in December. I'm pretty sure it is next Tuesday. It might be Wednesday. You might want to look up Juno Mudrooms on the web. They are there. Great storytelling. Speaking of storytelling, KTOO is launching a new thing for the holidays. It's a writer's showcase entitled Holidays. It's live readings of holiday-themed stories by Heather Lindsay, who will be coming down from Haynes, Jeff Kirsch and Clint Farr, Rockwell Kent, and others. That's Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at KTOO's new F360 stage, which is on the first floor of the studio. It's pay as you can, and everything will be recorded for KTOO FM and 360 North TV. So it is 3:40. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Your host today, sitting in for Martha Moore. My name is Joan Pardis. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. And in the studio right now is our next guest, Assistant Principal Christy Germain of Juno Douglas High School. Hi, Christy. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you for having me.
So what is the news? What's the December stuff going on at the high school?
Well, our winter sports and activities have just started, and that's a big deal. That means basketball season.
Yay!
And kind of first home games for our fans to come and watch. We have our Capital City Classic, which is hosted at JDHS. We're bringing it back this year, and December 27th will be the first day of the Capital City Classic, and it goes through December 30th, and that's a great time for people to come out, support our teams, see how well we're going to do, and also just, you know, set the stage for a great season and get community members into the school.
That sounds great. So what if you don't know somebody on the team? How do you find out the schedule, the basketball schedule?
You know, through the JDHS website, which is also linked to the district website, junoschools.org, and then there's a tab at the top for schools. You can pick high school. You can go right to JDHS. We have a button for our athletics and our activities. It links to a calendar, schedule, when all of our games will be.
Sounds great. Okay.
And something else to look forward to, in February, we'll have our homecoming games. The 21st, I think, is that Friday? 22nd, that weekend.
Sounds like fun.
Yes.
Sounds like fun. So what other things? We were talking a little at the break that there's a new art installation.
There is. We actually, something that we're really excited about at JDHS, of course, we're the home of the Crimson Bears, and we were donated a large bear. It's actually the size of a sheet of plywood, carved and then painted with a totemic design.
Oh.
Shaylin Tucker, who had the Southeast Artisans, she was moving down south. Her son was actually a student of mine and a JDHS student. And this fall, she approached us. She said she was going to be moving, wasn't going to take it with her, but really wanted to donate the bear to the Crimson Bears. And so we happily accepted that donation. Andy Bullock, who's one of our CTE, or Career Technical Education teachers, he was able to take the big rig, go pick it up. Our maintenance department hung it today. So those of you, if you've been in the atrium at JDHS, really from the upper parking lot, there's that large wall of windows, and this bear is hanging up there.
Oh, that sounds great.
It's great. It looks really nice. You can see it from the parking lot. You can see it from inside in the atrium. And we're just really excited to have it. It's a beautiful piece.
That's great. What has the reaction been of the students?
Well, it just got hung this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we toyed with the idea of covering it with a sheet. And then,
ta-da!
And then we decided, you know what? It's up. Let's see if the buzz grows and what people notice. And then knowing that I was coming on the radio today, we were pushing for maintenance to be able to hang it for us, and the snow cooperated. They didn't have to plow this morning, so they could get it done for us, which we really appreciate. And it looks neat, and I think the students are going to start to notice. And just if you've been in JDHS, the remodel that was about 10 years ago opened up all that light, the windows that are above from both sides. We get some morning sun, some afternoon sun, a little bit of midday sun, if we have
when
it.
When there is sun.
When there is sun.
Which will be all this week.
Yeah. And so it's just in a great location, and it just looks really nice. We also have a large taxidermed bear that's in a case. and that's kind of in the middle of that atrium area, and then the totem pole that's in the stairwell on the other side. So those three things are kind of anchoring the space artistically, and then the large art piece on the ceiling. It looks really nice.
Yeah, we're going to have to go check that
out. Yeah, and, you know, community members are always welcome to come into the school. For the safety and security of our staff and students, we do always ask visitors to sign in at the front office, and that's true in all of the schools. But, yes, people are welcome to come, and even if you're coming to the Capital City Classic or if you're going to be going to the Nutcracker or some other performance that's in the school, as you walk in the main doors, just look up on the mezzanine level on the wall, and you'll see that new bear.
That sounds great. And the Nutcracker, that's this weekend, Friday and Saturday night at 7 and Saturday and Sunday at 2. So that's great. So what else is going on at the high school?
So we're already planning for next year.
Okay.
And we're looking ahead to...
When you say next year, are you talking about calendar year or school year?
Well, both.
Okay.
You know, we're actually... It's already December. I don't know how that happened. But we have the end of our semester is right before our winter break. So students are in the last 3 weeks of class right now, going into their finals week. And then when we come back from the winter break on January 6th, that will be second semester. And then in January, we start with really our course selection night, where students come in and they start looking at what classes they need to take next school year. And that we have a district calendar that's set, so both Thunder Mountain High School and Juno Douglas High School will have the same nights and the same events. Most people probably remember that it's open enrollment. We don't have boundaries between the two large comprehensive high schools. So what we do is information will be mailed home to 8th grade families, and those 8th graders will have an opportunity to come into the schools, and that is actually January 22nd and 23rd, starting at 5:30. There'll be a presentation at JDHS and one at Thunder Mountain High School at the same time. And it'll be general high school information. It'll also be program specific to each school. And then those 8th grade students have to make a choice. And they actually have, through some work at their middle schools, they'll have a choice card that they'll turn in by Valentine's Day, so February 14th. And then we keep going. Our rising seniors have nights January 29th and 30th, and they're going to come in, they meet with their counselors, they go through what classes they have, what classes they need, and then we'll continue through February with our juniors, sophomores, and freshmen for the next year.
Wow, halfway through the year, and it's already looking on to the next school year.
Yes, and for those of you who have followed school district politics, we have increased the graduation requirements, so next year seniors will have to have 23 credits to graduate. And so just really looking at fitting in all the requirements, because it was an increase to math and science requirements.
Right. So that definitely, families are going to need assistance with that to make sure that they're all ready to get going and get graduating. How many kids do you expect to, how many young people do you expect to graduate this year?
That's a great question. I don't have the number in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
In total, JDHS is under 700 students, which I graduated in the 90s and we were 1,800. So it's always kind of, it's not shrinking pains. We're getting a lot closer and more close-knit. And then also just having a sister school is great. So I don't know our exact number, but hopefully all of them.
Okay.
That's our goal.
So I'm going to ask you some questions. Mm-hmm. And people who know Christy are going to go, duh, so just bear with me. So you're a local girl.
I am a local girl. You graduated
from JDHS yourself.
1997.
Wow. Go Bears. So tell me about your path of graduating to being assistant principal at the school that you graduated from. That's a hometown story.
It is a hometown story. Well, I did grow up here, and I went through Gastineau and Marie Drake before there was a Santagahini, and then JDHS. I did graduate in 1997. I was a student council member and also a cheerleader and involved in plays, and I went away to college. I actually went to school in Idaho, a small school that was the same my mother went to. And then I came back, did the MAT program at UAS. I taught, my student teaching was at JDHS with Sarah Hannon in the social studies department. And then taught for a year at Dryden and then came back to JDHS. Had another 9 years before becoming the assistant principal.
Wow, that must make you feel so great that you're giving back to your hometown.
Yeah, and it's nice. You know, as I'm walking around at lunchtime meeting with students, many of them I've had in class, I still know them. It's sort of that easy transition, which is great.
Okay, that sounds great. I have a few more questions since I have an assistant principal in the studio today. So let's say you don't have a child at the high school, okay, for a variety, you know, whether you have a child in another school or so on and so forth. How can community members support our youth?
You know, that's a great question. Certainly coming to our events, not that we just want your money, we want your support, we want your presence, but also there are ways to volunteer. One thing that I heard on my way out the door from our activities office, we're actually hosting a drama team, drama debate and forensics, in January, and we need judges.
Oh, interesting.
And so community members who are interested in coming in, they can serve as timers, they can judge and evaluate those presentations. If anyone's interested, Cricket Curtin in our activities office, 523-1614, she could help set you up for that. This weekend, we also have the Academic Decathlon, Southeast Regional Meet. I think they're squared away for judges, but if not, if you're interested, you can always call the main office, which is 523-1501. There are those opportunities. We also have community members and parents who come in as hall walkers, and they actually sign in and spend their lunch hour walking through our halls to be a presence, also to be connected with the school. For parents, we have a parent group that meets monthly. We also have a site council, and the site council just met this Monday, yesterday. We have a student recognition program that happens every month, and it's our parents who donate the food and help make that event happen. Lots of chances for people to be involved. We love the community involvement.
Right. It sounds like a wide variety of volunteer opportunities at JDHS specifically, since we're talking to the assistant principal, Christy Germain, of that school. I'm sure Thunder Mountain has a similar program, and probably all the schools have the program.
Yes.
So if you're thinking if you want to help out youth, and perhaps you do or you don't have a child at the school, feel free to go on in, sign yourself in, and talk to somebody and say you want to volunteer. And I'm assuming that if people are going to volunteer, there's some training, people get up to speed about what's expected.
Yes. And, you know, speaking about both schools, there are some things we're doing this year kind of in cooperation with Thunder Mountain and with Yakusuke Akihiti. One great example of that is Spamalot, the play or musical this winter that's being produced in conjunction. So all three schools have students who are involved, and I think that came naturally out of last year's Hairspray, which included community members and students from all three schools, and that's just a neat cooperation.
Wow.
As we look at being sister schools, not rivals.
Right.
And so that'll come this winter after the break, and look for advertisements about Spamalot.
What a funny play. That is very
fun.
Ambitious, which was Hairspray, was very ambitious,
right,
as well.
And they
did
a great job.
Really, really terrific. I have to say that all the programs that we see at the high school level, out of all the schools, it's just really amazing the talent we have here in town, both with the students and with the people who are coaching them as they learn.
And certainly we saw, specifically with our drama department, getting selected to go to the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland, this last summer. It was a great opportunity. The students came back so jazzed and just invigorated and excited about drama. And that was actually also an award for Michelle Amore, our director. And speaking about our staff at JDHS, we have had a number of staff members receive state and or national or international awards. Michelle Amore was one. Jonathan Smith, who's one of our science teachers, he's actually the Alaska Teacher of the Year for Earth Sciences, and that's from his work with the science fair. And speaking of opportunities for community members to volunteer, if any of you have served as science fair coaches who are listening, I just want to thank you. That's a huge program. It's a huge time commitment, and our students grow so much from that. If anyone else is interested in helping, you could call our main office at 523-1501 just to get connected. Jonathan Smith continues to work with our science fair.
That sounds great.
And then we have a couple other award winners. The Karen Smolin, who works for the district in our CTE, which is Career Technical Education. They had the state conference in Anchorage, and two of our JDHS teachers, Kari Monagle and Colin Dukes, won state awards for their work in CTE.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So that's
and we have a lot going on. Looking forward to spring. Andy Bullock, who, with our group of students and the cooperation of Saga, they build a house every year in Juneau. And then the last couple of years, they've also been going to Florida during spring break and building a Habitat for Humanity's house. And this year, they'll do that again. So those are just neat opportunities for our students to get involved in a variety of venues and activities and geographical locations also.
Wow, it sounds like a lot is going on.
And we have an activity that takes a trip to Washington, D.C. and New York City with Close Up. And that's one we've had for a number of years. They're going again this year. They generally get in a Broadway play on that trip, which is great.
And that's how they see how the laws are made, federal laws are made.
Yes, it includes the Close Up organization has meetings, mock legislative sessions, opportunities to meet our delegation, and all of that in Washington, D.C. And then the add-on trip is New York City.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
So let me ask a question, one more question, and then we're going to have to wrap it up. So, Christy, you've come full circle. You grew up here. You're a student. You're here at your hometown. So where do you see your kids going? Can you even do that? I know you have young children. So, I mean, like, do you have any idea of what the future might hold? Or you want to talk about your journey of coming back?
You know, actually, something neat that happened this year, we hosted the State Student Council, which was the Alaska Association of Student Governments. And I served as a student council advisor for JDHS for a few years. And as a student, I was the Southeast region rep to that board. And it was, to me, it was poignant in how it came all back around that I was hosting the conference. We had it here. And it was just neat to share the student perspective, the teacher perspective, and now the administrative perspective in the same event over time.
That sounds great. So if you're just joining us, we're talking with Christy Germain. She's the assistant principal at Juneau Douglas High School. She's talking about all the events that are happening at the high school. And you can check that out at the Juneau School District site, juneauschools.org. And then you could just go to the school of your choice specifically for JDHS. But we're going to have to wrap this up. But Christy, thanks for all you do.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, we're going to take a short break and be right back.
Hi, this is Ethan Side.
And this is Catherine Noreen.
Here from the Juneau Douglas High School hockey team. And
we're here to pump you up.
And invite you to this weekend's home games, Friday at 8.
And Saturday at 7.
At the Treadwell Ice Arena.
Tickets are available at the door.
Come support your local high school hockey team.
We will rock you.
That's Crimson Bear Hockey.
This weekend at Treadwell Arena.
See you there.
This is Bird Note. Every spring, millions of people hang up hummingbird feeders to attract and feed these avian wonders. And every fall brings the question, when do I take down my feeders? If I leave them up too late in the season, do I put my hummingbirds at risk of missing the right moment to migrate, exposing them to the hazards of winter? Here's the general answer. Providing food for hummingbirds in the fall will not cause them to overstay their normal migration schedule. That timing is driven largely by hormonal response to the length of the day. Leaving feeders out won't tempt them to procrastinate. It may even help to leave feeders hanging for a week or two after you've seen the last hummingbird of the season, just in case a late migrant stops by to fatten up. For those who live on the Pacific coast, however, it's a little different. The species known as Anna's hummingbird is largely non-migratory, residing year-round from California to southern British Columbia. If you have Anna's hummingbirds in your neighborhood, they will benefit from the food you provide any day of the year. Today's show is brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation. Bird Note's producer is John Kessler, and our executive producer is Chris Peterson. Our writers include Bob Sundstrom, Todd Peterson, Ellen Blackstone, and Dennis Paulson. I'm Mary McCann.
To
Juno Lyric Opera is proud to present the 6th Annual Holiday Pops Concert, featuring Sally Smith directing and accompanied by the immensely talented Lori Hagee and Rosie Humphrey. The choir will be joined by the Holiday Pops Brass Ensemble and a special performance by the trio, Miss Ain't Behavin'. Performances are Saturday, December 7th, 7:30 p.m. at Chapel by the Lake Church, and Sunday, December 8th, 3 p.m. at the Jack. Tickets available online at junoopera.org and at both Hearthside locations.
Okay, here we are. We're wrapping up Juno Afternoon on December 3rd. The weather tonight, partly cloudy, lows 11 to 19, northeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, and tomorrow night, mostly clear. Join Ann Fuller tomorrow for Juno Afternoon. She has a whole lineup of your neighbors and friends and colleagues to talk about what's going on in Juno. And if you want to listen at any time to any KTOO program, it's at ktoo.org. Thank you for listening. Have yourself a great day.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269A.